The theme is worded like this. Who is your father? Of course, you know your father is at home or wherever he is. We are referring today to the Heavenly Father, our spiritual father. John's Gospel, chapter 8. We have been preaching from this chapter for a few weeks. And if you may recall, this chapter contains many precious lessons. Now, this is now the increasing hostility of the Jews to the Lord Jesus, expressed now in the passage we have read. Let's get the context. The Jewish authorities were very upset. As the Word of God has told us, when Jesus came to them, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is the problem with the Jews from that day till this day. Please understand, the problem in Palestine is not accidental, but it has a historic background. From that time, when Jesus came unto his own received him not, and here they were upset by the words he spoke, by the things he did. He healed every disease. He could do all the miracles which the Jewish authorities could only observe and get angry. So that is the background. You turn to the same chapter, verse 23. Here the Lord speaks to them. To the Jews, his own people, he came unto his own refused him, rejected him, plotted to kill him. What does the Lord Jesus say to them? Verse 23, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world, dear friends. Our whole purpose of coming every Lord's Day, dutifully, and I pray joyfully, to this place of worship is because we are not of this world. Because we have been called out of the darkness of this world into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God. And this is what the Lord says here. You, Jews, authorities, scribes, Pharisees, lawyers, all of you, you hate me so. You're plotting to kill me. But I'm telling you, you belong to the world. But I do not belong to the world. I came from the Father to do a special mission, a special work on this earth. My dear friends, let us get the picture very clearly. There are just two kingdoms, just two. Here we are. Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong up there, though we don't belong down here on earth. And the Lord Jesus has come, and he spoke with them, and they were very upset. Now that gives the context. Go on to verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now the believed here is not a statement of those who are saved, but believe meaning they adhered to him. They seemed to like his teaching. They followed him. They believe on him. They come to him. But many of them came for other reasons, for ulterior, selfish motives. Did the Lord Jesus know them? Oh, my friends, whenever you read scripture, as I said, please pray. Pray, Holy Spirit, help me to understand what I am reading. The Lord Jesus saw all the thoughts and intentions of those Jews who came to him. He knew exactly who believed and who did not believe. You know that? So here is Jesus speaking to them. What did Jesus tell them? Verse 31. Jesus said to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Meaning to say, hey, not all of you who follow me are true disciples. I know it. And I'm telling you how you can prove yourself to be a true disciple. And I say the same to all of us here today. I pray that all of us here are genuine disciples. Meaning to say, we come here simply because we have recognized Jesus Christ, Son of God, the only Savior, my Savior, and I am His. I receive Him into my heart and no one else, and forever I'll be following Him. Do you have this resolve in you? Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples truly. You got to continue. Beginning well is good, but continuing well is better. And ending well is best. Please, we all have a beginning, but do not falter, do not waver, and do not deviate and go away. Verse 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This caused an irritation in the Jews. They misread the whole statement of Jesus. The Lord Jesus was talking about a spiritual freedom, but they thought of political, social freedom. So they retorted, verse 33. The Jews said, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. We are not slaves. We're not bondage in bondage. Meaning to say, we are still Jews, independent and very proud of it. Verse 34, Jesus explains to them. Jesus says, verily I say to you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. You all have mistook the whole statement I made. I'm not talking of political freedom, but you all are in sin that you do not know. And when you and I commit a sin, we become servants to that sin. These Jews had committed the greatest sin. What is the greatest sin? He came unto his own. His own received him not. He came to save his own, and his own put him to the cross. Crucify him. They did not know him. They rejected him. This was the greatest sin. And this greatest sin continues to bear its fruit of that sin till today. That is why the Jews are going through this period of great suffering. The worst is yet to come. Now continue to read. Verse 34 down to verse 37. Here the Lord take them at their word. They say, we are children of Abraham. Why do you say we are not free? Verse 37, Jesus says, I know. Of course, the Lord knows everything. I know you, what you mean. You are Abraham's seed. You all are descendants. You all are Jews. You all are Israelites. But ye seek to kill me because my word had no place in you. You have rejected the Prince of Life, the Son of God, the only Savior, and that is the greatest sin we can ever commit, is to reject Jesus. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which ye have seen with your Father. My Father is above. I came as God incarnate with a mission, with a message, and here I am. I am from above. My Father is up there, and He directs all my activities here. But you belong to your father, the devil. Now, you say this is a pretty strong statement, isn't it? These people are very moral, upright, so-called, respectable gentlemen in charge of the whole system, the temple, the worship, the synagogue, everything is under their control. Very important people. And Jesus says, look, you are serving your father, the devil. Now, that is a very drastic statement. What do you think of it? My dear friends, not what it appears. Not because a person is ordained. Not because a person is in charge of the church that makes him correct and son of child of God, a Christian. It does not mean that today, as in that day. So I read to you again, verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Jesus speaks with authority. Jesus speaks as one come from heaven to earth for us, and one who has that mission to save us out of this perishing world, out of the world system. I hope this morning you get it very clear. Just two systems. Either you are part of the heavenly system under Jesus Christ, or you reject him, and then you belong to the world system, and this is what the Jews were. They had rejected Jesus, and so they belonged to the world system. So Jesus says, I have seen with my Father. You do that which ye have seen with your father, which is the devil. This provoked them further. Who is our father? The Jews, they were all the time under the idea, Abraham is our father. Oh, wonderful. They always refer back to Abraham. Everybody knows Abraham. If I'm a child of Abraham, of the tribe of Israel, and I'm one of his, who are you to say I'm not? They were very proud of this fact. Verse 39. So they answered and said to Jesus, Abraham is our father. Jesus says to them, truly, you say Abraham is your father? Let us examine that statement. Now follow, please, verse 39. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham was one who was a man full of faith, full of obedience to the word of God, rejoicing in the Lord all the time, a man of faith. Please remember, Abraham was the father of the faithful, the first ever Christian that is acknowledged to have been saved by faith, Abraham. Now Jesus challenged them. You say Abraham is your father. If you are his children, you would do the things that Abraham did. That hits the nail on the head. If you look at verses 56 and 58, we see it very clearly. Verse 56. Here Jesus says to them, your father, you refer all the time, so many times, so happily, your father Abraham, what? Rejoice to see my day. This is a very surprising statement, isn't it? He saw it and was glad. Look, you talk about Abraham. Abraham saw me. And you were so glad to see me. But you all are not glad to see me. You're plotting to kill me. How can then you be children of Abraham? You're not. Verse 58. Verse 57. The Jews retorted, you say Abraham saw you, but you're not yet 50. And Abraham lived 3,000 years before that. How can you talk such a thing? That's nonsense. All right, now here the Lord Jesus teaches them a lesson. 58. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, my friends, whenever we read about Jesus, talk about Jesus, never lose sight of the fact that he is Emmanuel, God incarnate. God the Son come in the flesh to become one of us. And he was the one who called Abraham. And when he called Abraham, Abraham was delighted. Why, my household idols are all deaf and dumb. And unable to do a thing for me. Now I meet the King of Kings, the Creator. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees because Jesus met with him and called him. And from that day, he never turned back. That is Abraham. How can you Jews say you are children of Abraham? Abraham was so glad to see me. And you plot to kill me? You cannot be. So then, Jesus told them the truth. You are but children of Satan. Satan is your father. Wow, they had never been told such a thing. My dear friends, who is your father then is the theme for today. Let me ask you, who is your father? I'm sure all of us here, I say practically all, unless there are some who have never yet believed in Jesus Christ, the rest of us will say, yes, my father is the Lord God Almighty, whom I have received through Jesus Christ, his son. As the chorus says, chosen by the Father, he chose you. Purchased by the Son who went to the cross to die for you, to pay the price for your salvation by cleansing you from your sin, to make you fit to be a child of God, and then sealed by the Spirit, marked out as special, security, ensured, God having now taken over ownership of all of us. Please understand, being a Christian is not just joining a church. Not baptism. It is important, but it is not baptism. Not coming to the table of God here. This is important, but it's not this. What makes you a child of God? Chosen by the Father. Purchased by the Son. Sealed by the Spirit. Then you become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Then every day rejoice to know I have a heavenly Father. Did you pray this morning? We all pray, don't we? How do you begin your prayer? Our what? Father. What is Father? The one who made me. The one who gave me life. The one who cares for me, that is the function of a father. You have a father in the house. He looks after the whole household. All the children inside the household are well cared for, provided for, planned for, protected from every harm, and blessed with every blessing that belongs to the father. It belongs to the children. Do you know that? Of course. And this gives us a very, I would say, small-scale picture of who is your Father in the heavenly sense, in the spiritual sense, when you came to hear the gospel and when you said yes to the Savior on the cross, lifted up and you say, Lord Jesus, your Holy Spirit has shown me my lost condition. I know I am a sinner. I need to be saved. I need Jesus to cleanse me from my sin. That moment you acknowledge and say to Jesus, save me, you were given the new life. Cleansed from your sin. Holy Spirit comes in, seals you, makes you a child of God. Then you can say, Abba, Father. What a blessing from the moment you start to believe in Jesus until you finish your earthly sojourn to the heavenly home, all the way the heavenly Father looks after you. I want you to turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Then we have a clearer picture from the pen of the Apostle Paul. Remember this. Paul, as Saul, was a destroyer of Christians, a terror to the church. Saul, the destroyer, until Jesus confronted him. Then he turned around. Let me ask you, why did Jesus not just finish him on the spot? On the way to Damascus, armed with letters to kill Christians, and here is the father of Christians. He should have on the spot killed him.
Why not?
Amazing grace, amazing love. As Paul himself says, Christ Jesus came to this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. For I was injurious, harmful, persecuting Christians, destroying the church, until God had mercy on me. Mercy, love, grace God shows to each of us in order to make us children of God, in order that we may call God our Father. Now, Romans chapter 8. Verse 13, here the Apostle Paul addresses to the Christians in Rome and to us today. What is he saying to us? Verse 13 says, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Question, how are we living? In this present world, it is not easy to be a Christian. Let me tell you this. All of us know it. Is that so? Of course. Not easy. In the present world, where communications and the whole culture pervades every part of society and pulling and impinging on us on every side to become part of the world, it's not easy to be a Christian. Now, what does the non-Christian world do? Verse 13. Live after the flesh. Do those things which come naturally, according to the dictates of our depraved nature. This is what it means, after the flesh. If you feel like doing it, do it. If it pleases you, do it. If there's pleasure in what you do, do it as you wish. All right, that is after the flesh. Now, verse 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die because you are not born again. You're still living according to your depraved old nature, and that kind of person is not a child of God. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, if you have come to Jesus, heard the word of the gospel by the Holy Spirit working through that word, comes into you, and you say yes to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit says, stop those things. Those things are not glorifying to God. And you mortify the flesh because the Holy Spirit tells you to. You are a child of God. This is what it says. You shall live as a child of God. Now you say, what is to mortify the deeds of the body? Mortify means put to death. How do you put to death? Simply say no. This is a small word we all got to cultivate. We all got to pray God for the courage to say so. When you hear something bad, something that's enticing, something you know is sinful, though attractive, now what do? Please, as a Christian, you cannot live after the flesh because your Heavenly Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say you belong to Him and He died for those sins you used to commit. Now the invitation is to go and do those things. What do? Verse 13, how to prove that God is your Father? If you live after the flesh, you die. So we must therefore learn not to live after the flesh. Right, now verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Wonderful verse. Can you remember this? Would you like to read with me? Just once, please. Verse 14, everybody read so that this will you remain with you together. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Question, are you led by the Spirit of God? When you go out into the world every day, do you pray, God, Heavenly Father, I call you Father because I know my life comes from you. My spiritual life comes from you. Today I'm going to business. Today I'm going to school. I'm going to do this, do that. Please, Holy Spirit, enable me that I may submit myself to you, that I may own you as my God. Holy Spirit, lead me. Verse 13, 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, you own God's Spirit as your leader, as your commander, director of your life, do we? Now, this is very simple, but I tell you, it is not easy. If you go to work, if you go start your day without this prayer, without the resolve, you are bound to fall. Right? If God is your Heavenly Father, think of this. Verse 15. Do you know God as your Father? If you are, this verse applies. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What is the spirit of bondage to fear? Before you came to Jesus, you were under the bondage of Satan. And that is a spirit of bondage. And the end of it is punishment, eternal damnation, and there is fear with it. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How do you know God as your Father? When you heard the gospel, when the Spirit told you that is right, and you say Amen, and you receive the Lord Jesus as a Savior, the Holy Spirit in you enables you to pray and say, Father in heaven. You cannot pray this prayer meaningfully from your heart except the Holy Spirit teach you to pray. Can you get this in all of us here? Everyone who hears the gospel and says yes to the Holy Spirit, you allow the Spirit to work in your heart and the Spirit will adopt you to be a son of God. John 1:12, we all know it. As many as received him, right? You received Jesus. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. You do not become like Jesus as the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son. He is begotten. This makes the difference. You say, why adoption? Jesus Christ, begotten of God. We are adopted of God to be his children. Here is the difference. Verse 15, therefore, listen. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No more fear because you have left the world. You have left the domain of Satan. You have renounced the religions of the world. You've come only to Jesus. Now you receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. Then that spirit enables you to say, Father. Oh, what a wonderful privilege. Do you know this is the greatest privilege that's come to us when we believe in Jesus? And Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, that joins us all as one family. Everyone calling Father in heaven, all of us are one family. And God is Father of us all in Jesus Christ. Verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're a child of God? The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. When you submit to Him under the sound of the gospel, when you bow to Him and surrender your life to Him, your conscience in you, your inner man, your heart, your mind, and God has given you a sound mind, all these cohere. together when the Holy Spirit witnesses, you say amen. That's it. A change comes over you. I give you a testimony. We had a friend in Jurong Church. The wife was converted, and he was very unhappy because he was a man of the world, doing all the things of the world, gambling, smoking, and everything. Until one day, the Spirit of God touched him through the wife. 4 years after the wife was converted, he was converted. And then the Holy Spirit came into him. And then he realized that through Jesus Christ, he had become a child of God. Instantly, no one ever told him. He stopped going to cinema. He stopped doing all his evil things. He stopped smoking. Everything that was wrong that he knew, immediately the witness of the Spirit with him in his heart, witness to his spirit, you are a child of God. How do I know I am a child of God? You ask yourself, how do you know you are a child of God? I know I am a child of God because the Holy Spirit in me tells me, yes, my Heavenly Father has chosen me. My Lord Jesus has died for me. The Holy Spirit has sealed me, shown me that I no longer belong to the world, but I'm part of the family of God. Sealed means marked out to be different. I know. Do you know? Oh, my friends, we all must thank God every day that we can call God our Father and no longer belong to the world, but you are bound for the heavenly home because the Father is there. And where the Father is, there is glorious rewards waiting, awaiting all those who acknowledge him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, teach us evermore that to belong to thee is the greatest blessing, and we are to be witnesses unto that grace of God. Dismiss us now with that blessing, that we may know Jesus Christ saved us unto an everlasting kingdom, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.